Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we're so grateful to be allowed to gather together, knowing that at one time when you determined to take upon yourself a human body, a temple, that you sent forth that one who was pre-existent with you before time and ages and all history, bringing him into a human being so that he was able to stand in the temple and before people, growing in grace and in knowledge and in wisdom, growing up in stature. And now here there's a bride at the end time who will be in your presence and so much like you that could also be said, hopefully, growing up in the wisdom and stature, favor with thee, and showing forth grace, Lord. We believe that's that hour. We wouldn't take this upon ourselves lightly, Lord, but we do believe and by grace expect to see the end of our salvation, even immortality. Help us this morning as we study together. May we grow in that grace, the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, being filled with that spirit of wisdom and that knowledge imparted to us in this hour, whereby, Lord, we know that this is that revelation, that shout, which leads right to the voice of the resurrection, and then it's all over as far as the earth, the kings of this world, and all things are concerned. And, Lord, we just are grateful that we believe and count ourselves a part of it, and we know that it is by grace, not presumption, but by, we believe, to be a genuine faith in our God. In Jesus' name we ask these mercies. Amen. You may be seated. Now, may have to experiment a little bit with the amplifier here, because I am going to try from now on to take a little more softer, easier on myself, rather than to attempt to ruin the vocal cords any more than they are. All right, we're going to talk about the resurrection this morning, and we're going to read in 1 Corinthians 15, 1 to 4, and then we'll proceed to verses 12 to 19. And it says, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received and wherein you stand, by which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scripture. There's a thought here before I read any further. Notice it says, by which you're saved, if you keep in memory that which preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. The Apostle Paul mentions a repentance not to be repented of. That is a change of mind which you receive, which is never to be changed again. We've run from pillar to post. I suppose that no one here has had a more checkered career than I have in believing the Word of God, from Trinitarian idolatry to a oneness fiasco. And you've got to come to the place where there's a repentance, a change of mind, which is never to be changed again. Brother Branham mentioned the slave in Jubilee going to the doorpost. And he said, I love my master. I like my organization. I'm very fond of my church connections, our missionary societies, our ladies' tea parties. And all these little things we do, we come together, roll up cloth and make bandages, and we set the world on fire. And he said, I'm going to put my ear against the door there, and you jab the awl through it, and then I'll be that way forever. Well, this is why Brother Branham said what he said, that this is a time when you come where you never change your mind again. A repentance not to be repented of. Now, he said, unless you believed in vain. Now, if your believing is not steadfast, where you're 100% sure of this message. Now, there's a fellow that came to our meetings in Columbus, and he's down there in Texas, and he's written up this chart. And maybe some of you saw it. And they've got the resurrection all figured out now. I guess it's April the 3rd. I don't know if that might not be resurrection. That might even be the rapture, you know. And so they said, well, what if you're not right? Well, he said, then there's been a false prophet in the land. Not he, but William Branham. So, I don't sing hallelujah for the kooks, not for 1 minute. Hallelujah for Jesus. I've got a repentance that I'm not changing. Something says, if this isn't it, forget it. You say, well, that's not right.
Well, what is right? What is right?
If your faith is not built upon the genuine revelation, you ain't got a faith. You've got a wrong God, a wrong Jesus, a wrong spirit, a wrong word. So we got to come to the place here where there's a repentance not to be repented of. Now, you can't change some of these people that are in organization any more than you can change a kangaroo into a 747. And you might see a 747 make a bad landing and hop like a kangaroo, but believe me, it's not a kangaroo. There's no way you can compare. I mean, I don't care if two birds do fly, robin's not a sparrow. I don't care if two birds do fly and get up there, the buzzard is not an eagle.
That's right.
A hawk's a pretty nice bird, but he's still not an eagle. So, there's a place where you got to come, and he said, if you keep in memory, unless you believed in vain. Now, if you believed in vain, then it didn't do you any good believing perfect. Now, I want to ask you a question. You that go back in your history of being a Christian and all the creeds and dogmas, did it do you any good? No, you believed in vain. If this is right, then all has been vanity to this point. Well, I want to know when reality comes. Brother Brand said this was it. You say, oh, you're going to take a man's word for it. Hogwash. God came on the scene. God vindicated himself to the prophet. He vindicated the prophet to the people. Then he that was the vindication of the word. Now, if you can't believe that, then get your own theology. When I would advise you, when you do it, what you do, go in a little room by yourself and pull down the curtains and light a candle and then call on the devil. Have fun. You think the world's non-spiritism? Ha! How long have you been coming to church here? I told you this thing is going to spiritism. You turn this down, there's one place to go. That's to the devil, that's spiritism. You can't have God and the devil at the same time. You know, Adam and Eve tried to play skip rope with God and the devil at the same time. You know where they skipped? Right out of the garden. You won't skip into heaven. But the old song said, you can't go to heaven in roller skates, you roll right by them pearly gates. You fool with God, you fool with his word, come on. No way, you got it. There's a time of changing your mind once and for all. There's a time where you make your mind up. There's a time where you say, this is it. You know? Now, he said, for I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received. Now listen, people say, oh, hallelujah for Paul. Hallelujah for Paul. He was the greatest. Oh, glory to God. We believe. Like those stoned Indians Terry talked about. Praise God. Chunk of the hoodah. Stoned out of their minds. Oh, that Paul was great. Yes. Yeah. Yeah, tell me, what did Paul have? A light that blinded his eyes and people saw, and there was a phenomenon, and only Paul knew what was going on. William Branham had the same. Paul in my books didn't have half the vindication William Branham had, unless there's a lot of records missing. What did Paul have? Oh, he said, this is something God gave me. And everybody said, hallelujah, God gave it to Paul. You weren't even there. How do you know God gave it to Paul? In 2,000 years, has somebody come by and proved it? Hogwash. They base it upon a little experience. Whereas once they thought they were sinners, but now glory to God, something has happened to me, and I'm such a sweet fellow. I'm such a devoted Christian. Fact. A doctor can scare the liver out of a guy over his physical condition, and in 48 hours he'll act just like a Christian. What is he like? Nothing. Now listen, you see where you stand? You stand in a vindication, my brother, my sister, that if you falter and I falter, I hope to God we choke to death. Yeah. Because we deserve to. Paul said, I received, I delivered. Great stuff! So what? So what? Anybody seen Paul? You ever hear? Do you know anybody that ever met him? And what do you know about Paul?
a record. Who cares about a record? There's millions of records. I can go to the courthouse. This is your Baptist. I'll get to preach later on, and I'll let you go home. I ain't going to preach at all. I was in Spencerville, you know, next near Lyman. You know, Bill knows, 14 miles west of Lyman. We brought up the subject of a charter. And you know what these birds had done in their sheer Baptist brilliance? They'd gone down to the courthouse and made a record. And they said, this is it. I said, hogwash. That doesn't hold a cut a bit of ice with the government. Doesn't do one thing. Because I can go to this courthouse over here in Troy, and you can go where you belong, and you can make a record and put it in there, and you can say, I know that Lee Vale is a cross between a chimpanzee and an elephant. Right? Put the record in there. Does that make me a cross between the two? Could have fooled you. Might be. See what I'm talking about? You can make a record of anything. And always you can have some jerk come by to help you. Because the world's made of suckers. You know, certain birds like to go around sucking eggs. There's a lot of those birds around, more eggs to suck, too. Put your name in anything. Call it salvation. Do this. Look here. What do you care about a record? What's a record? What's somebody's word? But when you see a prophet stand there and say, thus saith the Lord, and I challenge you, bring me 25 or 24 of your worst cases, I guarantee healing. What is that man talking about? What is he talking about? Now there's all kinds of records, but you give me a record like that, and I'll start listening. Now, Paul had a dynamic record. I wish I'd known all about it. But we have no record that he had the identical ministry of Jesus Christ, which William Branham had. But you better remember, also was thrown in Moses for good measure. That brought in creation. Yeah. Squirrel's the prophet's favorite food. This was the favorite food of the prophet and spiritual. So he had squirrels for breakfast and dinner and supper, and he had Bible all the time. Can't beat that. Now, he said, I delivered you, which I received. What do you receive? That Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture. How much vindication do you know that Isaiah had? Ha! The way they treated him, he didn't have any. He was a lone man in the totem pole, loves to get rid of. How much did Ezekiel have? Went around glassy-eyed or something? I'd like to win the records and see where vindication lay. Now, they had something. They had to have thus saith the Lord if they had it only once. But they had something. We got a sacred book here. And Paul said, look, he said, this one came down in pillar fire. And I've got to tell you what I received from him. According to Scripture, he died. According to Scripture, he was buried. He rose again the third day. According to Scripture, he was seen of the 12 apostles and so on. And verses 12 beginning, now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you there is no resurrection of the dead? I said, priest. Who proved it? Something must have been there. But he had preached. If there is no resurrection dead, then is Christ not risen. And if Christ be not risen, then our preaching is vain, and your faith is vain because you believe what I said. Now, you know, everybody's got to believe what's being said. Anybody seen God? No. The old song said, who hath seen the wind? Neither you nor I. But when the trees are bending low, the wind is passing by. When the miracles are done by the Holy Spirit, the same that were done by this man in the flesh, he's here. In a way, he hasn't been here before. And the fullness we have not seen, and the fullness brings grace for grace, the fullness of grace. I hope you got that. Why aren't we screaming? You just can't think these thoughts and not be full to the brim and overflowing. Why, he said, if Christ is not risen, our preaching is vain. Your faith is vain. You haven't got a thing. Yea, we're false witnesses of God, if there be a God. Because we testify of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised up, if so be the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. You're yet in your sins. And they that have fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. Now, you notice that a few months ago, I recall a few months ago I talked to you about something that began to move me to consider that Jesus did not come only to bear our sins. But even before he ascended, while he was in a spirit body, he descended into upper and lower Sheol, and there he preached the souls in prison and led free the captive sons of God and brought them forth into a resurrection. Now, until yesterday, it did not cross my mind that that's exactly what Paul would have us to consider. For he said here in 3 and 4, "For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scripture." In other words, the great doctrine of the atonement for sins cannot outweigh and literally will not take precedence over the doctrine of immortality via the resurrection. You cannot separate sin bearing from immortality. Which immortality is mostly via resurrection. Read those verses again. Now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you there is no resurrection of the dead? And if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ be not risen, then our preaching is vain and your faith is also vain. Son said, "I'm not doing a bit of good." He said, "You're not doing a bit of good." He said, "We're sitting here looking at each other. We've had it. Yea, and we are found false witness of God because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be the dead rise not. And if the dead rise not, then Christ is not raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, and you are yet in your sins." So, you have no right, nor has anyone any right, to ever think of the atonement apart from what has been atoned for. Now, then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ. In other words, sin atoned for. Free from sin. Hallelujah. Everything wonderful. Now he said, if that's all you got, you haven't gotten it. What good is it to you? What do you want to get forgiven if there's no resurrection? That. There's fun to be had out there. So many people have got you. You don't need to worry about afterlife. Go and get them. What's all this talk of morality, this and that and the other thing? What's all this talk about salvation, God changed life? What did you change your life for? See? You say, well, the point is that he changed my life, I might glorify him. What are you going to get out of it? Somebody feel good beating you over the skull teeth. Beat my skull, you'll feel good. Lord, save me so I'll be a nice guy and I'll lose all my good times. What's written for me? You see what I'm trying to get across to you? There are certain things that you dare not think of alone. The minute you start separating them, you're gone. You don't have an understanding. You don't have a revelation. You don't have a faith. You don't have a hope. Fact. You've had it. Now, if you can't guess what I'm preaching today, go on home. Don't annoy me. I'm looking down the road, boy. Maybe 10 days from now, maybe tomorrow morning. I don't know. I'm getting myself all psyched up. Now I'm getting myself stimulated. Stimulation takes heat. Heat kills your germs. Sinus germ. Getting ready to get out of here. Now listen. Let's take a look at the chain of scriptural, the chain of scripture and scriptural experience to see this plan of God. Okay, Galatians. Third chapter. 13:14. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it's written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. That the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Jesus died upon Calvary, remitting our sins in order that we might be filled with the Holy Ghost. Right? Right? Thank you. Right. Hebrews 10. We go to 12 to 15. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down the right hand of God from henceforth expecting, till his enemies be made his footstool. Now he's expecting something too. Now he didn't just die to get rid of our sins. Oh, see, isn't that wonderful? The Lord died to get rid of our sins. It was a poor little Lord. Hey, I got news for you. He's going to get something out of this. Oh, brother, sister, listen. There's a big day coming. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified, whereof the Holy Ghost also is witness to us. In other words, it absolutely shows you every person baptized with the Holy Ghost shows the blood is 100% effective. All right. Atonement for sin. Justification. Sanctification. Baptism with the Holy Ghost. Where did he go from there? Ephesians 1. 13 and 14. In whom you also hoped after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance unto the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. Fine. There you go. Now we're so far ahead. Sins cleansed, full of the Holy Ghost, immortality coming up. All right, let's find out. Romans 8. Ten to 11. And if Christ be in you the body is dead because of sin. Spite of the atonement. Spite of the fact you're full of the Holy Ghost. You're dead. The body. But the Spirit is life because of righteousness. A new seed. Gonna build a new body. Listen. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. He's telling you, because you're full of the Holy Ghost, you're guaranteed a resurrection. So, atonement, baptism, resurrection. Then what did you get saved for? What did you get filled for? To be in a resurrection. Okay. Now let's continue to see even more clearly the eminent place given the resurrection. So we notice John 3, Gospel, 3-8. Jesus answered and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now what can't he see? Kingdom of God. Unless what? He's born again. Okay. Let's keep reading. Nicodemus said, how can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter a second time his mother's womb be born? And Jesus said, truly, truly, say unto you, except a man be born of water and spirit, he can't enter the kingdom of God. All right, now he can't see it, he can't enter it. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. Marvel not, I said, and you must be born again. The spirit blows where the spirit moveth where he willeth. You can hear the sound, but you can't say whether he goes. Comes from whether he goes. So is everyone that's born of the spirit. Nicodemus said, how can these things be? Okay, now we go to 1 Corinthians 15. Now this is the kingdom. Can't see it, can't enter unless you're born again. Now watch. Verse 50. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Can't possess it. You don't get that kingdom by inheriting it. There's those passed on by father to son that was bought for you and passed over to you. That you could call inheritance that way. You can't possess it. Neither doth corruption inherit or possess incorruption. I'm going to show you a mystery. We won't all sleep a lot, but we'll all be changed in a moment. In 3 and 9, at the last trump, trump's going to sound, the dead be raised incorruptible, and we're going to get changed. For this corruptibility puts an incorruptibility, and mortal puts an immortality. So, when corruptibility is put an incorruptibility, mortality, immortality, is brought to pass the saying, written death is swallowed up in the victory, it's forever, it's all gone, it's over. Now, how do you get it? How do you get in the kingdom? By getting incorruptible. From mortal to immortal. Resurrection. Rebirth, resurrection, kingdom. Okay? Romans 8. 18-23. For I reckon the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared to the glory which shall be revealed in us. What glory? Resurrection glory. For the earnest expectation of creation waits for the manifestation of the sons of God, when they who are true sons will be shown to be absolutely what they are. That's resurrection. As the Brother Branham said, the fullness of adoption comes in the resurrection. For the creation was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who has subjected the same in hope. Because creation itself also should be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the liberty of the glory of the children of God. They're going to have their resurrection. Nature's going to have its resurrection. Creation. You understand why Brother Branham created squirrels by the power of God? Resurrection's at hand. Squirrels are going to come back. Dogs are going to come back. Passenger pigeon, carrier pigeon, everything in the world is going to come back. And the earth's going to be six times bigger than it ever was. Because there'll be no water space. There's 1/6 of land. It's going to be marvelous. For we know that the whole creation groans and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruit of the Spirit. What first fruits? Resurrection. We got the Spirit that's going to put us into the resurrection. How'd you get it? Through the shedding of blood. Why do you think the world's coming back? The blood was dropped upon it. The Spirit will quicken it. How are those dead going to come out of the ground that died all these years? The blood fell upon the ground. Spirit quickens it. Bringing forth the resurrection. All right. We have an unmistakably clear picture. One, the blood made the way for the remission of sins. Two, remission of sins made way for the quickening of the Spirit. Baptism and rebirth. Three, the rebirth made way for the resurrection. The resurrection makes way for the kingdom of God, which is the kingdom reborn and restored back to Eden. All right. Now before we go one further step, we must admit that what we have reviewed so far is the order of the New Testament bride. We'll hit the old a little later. All right? Let's look at that New Testament bride. Ephesians 5, 23-25. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Anything that needs saving, he's going to do it. Don't I'm dying, I'll correct that. I'm a sin, I'll correct that. I need this, I'll correct that. But he's a Savior. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be their own husbands and everything. Husband, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. All right? Head? Savior. Gave himself for her. Now, she has her own special resurrection. He had his. She's a part of it. She's got her resurrection. We go over here to John, the 5th chapter. And John 5:23-25. Verily I say unto you, he that hears my words and believes on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into the judgment unto condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. The sin question is irrevocably finished. Verily I say unto you, the hour is coming and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. Now it tells you that plan. He's going to get them out of the graves. Okay, let's go to Revelation 20. Revelation 24-6. And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them, and I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, nor had received his mark upon the foreheads, or in their hands. They lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years, but the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years are finished. This is the first resurrection. This is the first They come back. And they come back better than ever. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such a second death hath no power. Why? They won't be in the judgment. No way you can condemn. But they'll be priests of God and of Christ and shall reign with him 1,000 years. But, and this is a very big but, the New Testament bride here is not alone. There stands with her the Old Testament bride. Now notice, the Old Testament bride, through the blood that was shed, but they not full of the Holy Ghost. Only prophets had closer than we have. Could, through the shedding of blood, allow the Holy Spirit to come back and quicken everyone that was supposed to come up in the first part of the first resurrection. Now that gives you a clue to the what's coming up at the white throne. You follow me? They were not full of the Holy Ghost because he was not yet given. For the life of bulls and goats could not come back upon the people. But when the light was shed, that light could come back and take every atom and change it immortal. You talk about a great God, brother, sister, that numbers the sands of the earth. He more than numbers the sands of the earth. This is that Lord of glory I was going to talk about, but I got way late. Maybe God will give it back. I don't know. My resentment is not the fact I didn't preach him. My resentment is the fact that I couldn't preach him to you. Because I hath not seen your ear heard, but I'm going to tell you something. We're not far from it. Hey, I don't talk to you in foolishness. I'm telling you the truth. This great one of glory, the Father of glory. A Father of glory. We love our children. Sure. What glory? Not much. All right. This, mostly, this, the Old Testament bride will stand with her. Now, let's begin to put this together. Revelation 21, 1 to 2. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. They've been reborn. They're resurrected. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. 9 and 10. There came on the seven angels, and had the seven vials, full of the seven last plagues, and talked to me, saying, come hither. I'm going to show you the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone most precious, and so on. 21, 22 to 27. And I saw no temple in that holy city, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. That could be even the Lamb. Are the temple of it. The city had no need of light of sun, for the glory of the Lord God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations of them which are saved, that's not bride. This is the bride. Shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth bring their glory and honor into it. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day. There shall be no night there. They shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it. There shall in no wise enter into it anything that defies. There's nothing out there to defy. They're all saved. See? Neither whatsoever worketh abomination maketh a lie. But they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. Bride. Original Lamb light. That came up. Via human bodies. Are now like him. But they, which are written in the Lamb's book of life. Okay? John 14. You can open one of those doors if you like because it's pretty hot in here. I don't want you going to sleep on me. You go to sleep and you won't even get the tape. Won't even let you have the tape to listen to it. And you're saying your moments. Stay awake. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. I'm going. He said, in my Father's house. What is the Father's house? New Jerusalem. Zion. Holy city. We're not so, I would have told you. I'm going there to do it for you. If I go and prepare a place, you'll come again, receiving myself, that where I am, there he may be also. Where is he? On the top of Mount Zion.
Where are we? Just below. Forming a bride. Whither I go, you know. Now, watch Hebrews 8. I beg your pardon, 11. Hebrews 11. 11. 8 to 11. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, a possession, he obeyed. He went out not knowing whither he went. And by faith, he sojourned in a land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, and heirs, possessors, owners, with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundation. How many? 12. 12 gates, whose builder and maker is God. Hebrews 3. I hope this is the right one. 1-6. Yes. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our confession, Jesus Christ, who was faithful to him that appointed him, as also Moses was in all his house. For this man, Jesus Christ, was counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he who hath builded the house hath more honor than the house. Now, what is the house? New Jerusalem. Who builds it? Christ. How? From the head down. Everything poured into Christ. Attributes of God are poured into a bride. And here she stands identical with him. Because remember, Jesus was not God. He differed from God. Yes, sir. Pillar of fire is above it. Every house is built by some man. But he that built all things is God. So what was it? God in Christ. All the attributes. So it could be said all things were made by him, that God made all things by him. Because that's where it started. With that little light coming out. Containing all the attributes. God can't build a piano out of himself. He's got to be creative. So he began putting himself in a form whereby he could create. That which came out of him was of himself. And all those thoughts in him began to produce creatively. Except you and me. We weren't created. We always were. Down in here putting human vessels. You say, how'd you do it? I got pretty good answers, but I don't have to have all those answers. Moses was faithful over in all his house as a servant for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken after. But Christ is a son over his own house, whose house we are, if we hold fast the confidence and rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end, our repentance. We're right here at the end time, brother, sister, believing in a resurrection. Hold to it. Hold to God's unchanging hand. We're not in bedtime stories. All the time looking forward, glory. All the time looking back, glory. Why don't you look now? There's a glory now. It's the final glory. It's the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. All right. We are very much aware that Jesus spoke of two resurrections. Sure. Read part of that in Revelation. Let's go back to Acts, the 5th chapter. John, 5th chapter. 24:25. He that hears my word, please send me after everlasting life, shall not come into condemnation. But his path is the light. Truly, truly, I say, the hour is coming now is when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. There's going to be some that don't hear. Verse 28, marvel not at this, the hour is coming in which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice. Two separate times. And shall come forth they that have done good unto resurrection of life, and they've done evil unto resurrection of condemnation. Exactly right. That's where everybody else comes in but the bride. The bride comes in, no judgment. Why? Because the blood has a veil, she's full of the Holy Ghost, she walks in scot-free just like Christ. All right, these don't walk in that way. Revelation 25-15. We read some of that. Read it again. But the rest of the dead live not again until the 1,000 years are finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that part in the first resurrection. On such a second death hath no power. They don't even come near it. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ and reign with him 1,000 years. And when the 1,000 years expire, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison. He'll go to all the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth. Gog and Magog, you bring them together in battle. The number of them is as the sand of the sea. And they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about and the beloved city. And fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. Come and keep reading. The devil that deceived them cast in the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and false prophet are, and there shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat in it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead small and great stand before God, and the books were open. Now you see, the books aren't open at our judgment. I mean at our resurrection.
We get presented. And we give speeches and things. And this is not it. The books were open. And another book was open, which is the Book of Life. And the dead were judged out of those things which are written in the books, not Book of Life now, the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. And the death and hell delivered up the dead were in them. And they were judged, every man, according to their works. Now this is the work that we do, is to believe God. They never were believers in the 100% understanding of faith. They didn't have a revelation. Now, they had a lot of truth. But you see, they missed the word for their hour. That's why you've got the foolish virgin coming up out of denominations. There's nothing wrong with the doctrine of justification. Fine. Nothing wrong with sanctification. Nothing wrong with the baptism and all. But you see, it's gone plumb up to the place where he's here. See? And there's life only one place, and that's in him. And if you're not in him, you're finished. There's only one place to worship. That's in him and his name. Who's got his name? Not a bunch of Trinitarians, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost hogwash. I come down the street and somebody say, hey, he said, there's son, father, and grandfather. Oh, which one? There's 100,000. There's millions of them out there. Son, father, and grandfather. There's millions and millions of them. Oh, well. Well, let me sign my checks that way and you honor them. Anybody got loose money? If you want to be a sucker, I'll be happy to accommodate you. I'll give it to somebody more worthy than you because you're that dumb you don't need it in the first place. Huh? I'd appreciate a good little joke that gets the point across. That's what we want. Are you in the name or aren't you in the name? I'd like to see somebody other than my wife put her name on our checks. We've got joint account. You want to get your arm cut off the elbow or up the shoulder, babe? That's all right by me. The only one allowed to sign. And that's that one. All right. I read you this. Okay. Revelation 21, 22 to 27. And the city has no need of sun, neither the moon, to shine it, for the glory of the Lamb to lighten it. And the Lamb is the light thereof. The nations of them that are saved shall walk in the light of it. The kings of the earth bring your honor and glory into it. Now you see, there's kings out there. There's everything out there. There's all kinds of things out there. See? Now, watch. Revelation 20, 12 to 15. Which we read. So I don't have to read it again. And Revelation 21 and 1. Now watch that one. And I saw the new heaven and new earth, for the first heaven, the first earth are passed away, and there's no more sea. Now, verse 8. But the fearful and unbelieving and abominable and murderers and whoremongers, sorcerers, idolaters, and liars shall have their part in the lake of fire burned forever, and this is the second death. Now, way over to verse 27. And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatever works abomination makes a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Not Book of Life, Lamb's Book of Life. Now, notice, Noah said here, first heaven passed, first earth passed, holy city, wonderful. No abomination, nothing. All that's either burnt up or burning up. Who's there? Only those of the Lamb's Book of Life got the same life of the Lamb. In other words, they were in him before the foundation of the world, and that light came out of God. Attributes. The very life of God. The very expression of God. All right. That brings us to Romans 8, 19 to 23. We're going back now. Okay. Right, reckon. That the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared to the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of creation waits for the manifestation of the sons of God. Now it's waiting absolutely for the whole thing, not just for millennium, but it's waiting for the whole thing. Complete manifestation. Everything's going to be manifested. Okay. For the creature was made subject to vanity not willingly, but by reason of him was subjected to the same in hope. In other words, God had this whole thing in mind and a purpose. Because creation itself should be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the liberty of the glory of the children of God. In other words, there's going to be creation there to match us. We're going to reflect him. And nature is going to reflect us. Naturally. Now, that's sensible. Anybody can figure that out. All right. For we know the whole creation groans and travails and pains of now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruit of the Spirit. Even we ourselves groan in ourselves, waiting the adoption to wit redemption of the body. All right. Very good. Now, let's go to Isaiah. All creation is groaning. Isaiah 11. We get back there. Notice beginning in verse 6. And the wolf shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf and the young lion, the fatling together, and little child shall lead them. And the cow and the bear shall feed. Their young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The sucking child shall play on the hole of the ass, and the weaned child put his hand the coxers in. They shall not hurt nor destroy on the holy mountain. For the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord, and as the waters cover the sea, and in that day there shall be rooted Jesse, which shall stand for an instant the people, to it the Gentiles shall seek, and their rest shall be glorious. Now, he's talking of the day of the future which is coming. Now, I don't necessarily believe for 1 minute that that has to do with literal children, assy, tiny babies, but the simile. It's a picture. Because Brother Branham saw no children up there. And they certainly won't be born when you're sexless. And they certainly won't be in the kingdom here when they're sexless. Because that's what the sin was. So you're looking forward to this wonderful picture, which I mentioned. Now watch, I said. We took you to Revelation. To the first resurrection. We took you to the forming of the holy city. We took you to the holy city coming back here upon earth. Now, this takes us right back again to 1 Corinthians 15 and 50. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor that which corrupts. So immortality inaugurates the kingdom of God. Behold, I show you mystery. We're not asleep. Not everyone will be changed. The dead that sleep, they'll come up changed. We'll stand here, we'll be changed. Take over the kingdom. So here we are talking about the kingdom of God. And we now know exactly, basically, what we need to know. So, let's a look at the kingdom of God as to its promise and when it begins to form into materiality. Now we know that it starts at the second part of the first resurrection. Now, let's look at the kingdom. Let's go back to Daniel 2. This is a dream. It will tell the interpretation before the king. Thou, O king, art a king of kings. For the God of heaven has given you kingdom, power, and strength, and glory. See? That's the type of what's coming. But this is just chicken feed alongside what's coming. And wheresoever the children of men dwell, the beast of the field and the fowl of the heaven have given to thine hand and made thee ruler over them all. Thou art the head of gold. Now this was the head. We're in the feet. You talk about being yucky, we're yucky compared to that. After there shall arise another kingdom. After thee, fear to thee. A third, of brass, and shall bear rule over all the earth. The fourth kingdom is strong as iron. For as much as iron breaks in pieces, it subdueth all things. That's like force. As iron breaketh all these, it shall break in pieces and bruise. That's, you see, Christ was bruised at that time. And they haven't ceased to bruise and to break the bride to pieces. That physically they can never hurt a spiritually. Whereas thou sawest the feet and toes part of iron, the kingdom be divided. But there shall be in it the strength of iron, for as much as thou sawest iron mixed with miry clay. In other words, they have a system that is not known to be forcible, but it's got far more force than the despotic kingdom such as Babylon had, where a king could have his own way. This last kingdom is tricky. In other words, they simply bend and yet keep taking over. They bend and keep taking over. They keep bending and taking over. And as the toes and feet were part of iron, part of clay, the kingdom shall be partly strong and partly broken. But it doesn't say they're not going to retain their power. For as the salt iron mixed with miry clay, they'll mingle themselves and seed them in. But they shall not cleave one to another, even as iron is not mixed with clay. There's your last time bride. Right in there in the old harlot system, but you've got to come out. In the days of the... I say, oh, how far do I want to read here? 45. The days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom. Notice, in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people. But it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it'll stand forever. Now, you know when that happens. That's Revelation 19. We come back riding on white horses. But it's at the time of the kingdom that the kingdom, this kingdom of God is starting to gel and be set up. And that's true. Because he's laying them away in the ground. For 2,000 years to bring them up. And the last bunch will be right here, standing right here, will own it all. For as much as thou saw the stone was cut out of a mountain without hands. that it break in pieces the iron, the brass, the clay, the silver, the gold. The great God has made known to the king what shall come to pass after. The dream is certain. The interpretation thereof is absolutely correct. Daniel 7. Beginning at verse 15. I, Dan, was grieved in my spirit in the midst of my body, and the vision of my head troubled me. Notice the spirit and the mind go together, not the soul. And I came near unto one of them that stood by and asked the truth of all this, and he told me, made the interpretation known to me of these things. These great beasts, which are four kings, they'll rise out of the earth. The saints of the Most High shall take the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever, even forever and ever. Then when I know the truth, the fourth beast, which was exceeding diverse from all others, exceeding dreadful, teeth of iron, nails of brass, devoured, break in pieces, snapped the residue of his feet. And the ten horns were upon his head, and his head, and the others which came up before them three fell, even that horn that had eyes and a mouth that spake very great things, and look was more stout than his fellows. I beheld, and the same horn made war with the saints, and prevailed against them. You notice the last pope, too, he's got stouter than all the rest of them. The rest of them are just kind of crazy. This guy's tough. Until the ancient of days came, and judgment was given to the saints of the Most High, and time came, the saints possessed the kingdom. Now what's our judgment? Just going to carry out his orders, go take them over. See? Now, thus he said, the fourth beast shall be the fourth king upon earth, which shall be different from all kingdoms. They'll devour the whole earth and tread it down, break it in pieces. Ten horns of this kingdom are ten kings that shall arise. Another shall arise after them, and he'll be different from the first. He'll subdue three kings. He'll speak great words against the Most High, or else the saints of the Most High think to change times and laws, and they'll be given his hand for a time, times and dividing a time. Now that's the 3.5 years at the end. You know that. So this fellow at the end is what they're talking about. That's the old Antichrist himself, the whole bit. But the judgment shall sit. And they shall take away his dominion, to consume and destroy to the end. And the kingdom and dominion, and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven, shall be given to the people of the saints the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominions, and shall serve and obey him. Hitherto is the end. Now that's the book of Revelation tells you. See? Now, okay, let's go to Revelation 5, 1 to 10. Now, you stick with me now. Let's watch. So I can put it together for you. I saw on the right hand of him that sat upon the throne a book written within on the backside, sealed with seven seals. I saw a strong angel proclaim with a loud voice, whose words open the book, and whose seals are up. No man in heaven, nor on earth, nor under the earth, able to open the book, nor look thereon. I wept much because no man was found worthy to open the book and read the book, neither look thereon. And one of the elders said to me, don't weep. Behold, the line of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, hath prevailed to open the book, and loose the seals are up. Strange, he said, open the book and loose the seals. She thought they'd loosen the seals and then open the book. Opening the book was the loosening of the seals. I beheld, lo, in the midst of the throne, the four beasts, in the midst of the elders, to the lambs had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, or seven spirits of God set forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand and sat upon the throne. Now notice, here notice what he's got right with him, right there. Seven horns, seven eyes. That's a spirit. And when he'd taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the lamb, every one having them harps, and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sung a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book, to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain, and hast redeemed us unto God by the blood of every kindred, tongue, and tribe, and nation. People. Now, why is that put to music? Is that put to music somewhere, Don? Check it out. For Lloyd? You know about that one? Okay, Dave and Lloyd looked into that. And hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. Now notice, at the opening of the seals, it says, here's the time. Here's the time to be priests and kings unto God, and to reign on earth. And I beheld. That's far enough. We need to go. Let's go to Revelation 19 now. Now that's under the seals. Okay. Revelation 19, 7 and 21. Let us be glad and rejoicing and honor him, for the marriage of the bride is coming. The wife has made herself ready. To her was granted that she be arrayed in fine linen, white, clean and white, and fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. And he said unto me, blessed are they that are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said unto me, these are the true sayings of God. Now just a minute here. The bride's made herself ready. Is that right? Okay, let's find out. Revelation 22, verse 14. Blessed are they that wash their robes, that they may have the right to the tree of life. Okay, back to Ephesians. Fifth chapter. All right, verse 26, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that at that time that's done, he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that it should be holy without blemish. Now, you know very well that when the dead come out of the grave, they've got glorified bodies. We're the ones here that haven't got them yet. So the cleansing has got to be to us, right? So the bride makes herself ready. How? Through the word. Now, how are you going to do it except by eating this word and getting ready for your journey? You say, I'm going to pray. That's fine. Pray. God help you. Pray all you can pray. That's still not going to do it. That'll just help you to settle down and do the things you should do. That's fine. But if you don't have that word, forget it. See, and lots of other things in there, too. Okay, we're reading here, aren't we? Revelation, we got to 19. We're in the 19th chapter. Okay, let's get back to it. All right? The righteousness of the saints. He said, right, blessed are they that are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said unto me, these are the true sayings of God. All right? I shall speak the words, and he said, see, you do it not, and the fellow servant, and I, brethren, that have the testimony of Jesus, worship God, for this testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. Eyes of flame of fire, head many crowns, he's been crowned now, see at the wedding supper, he had a name written, no man knew it himself, clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. He shed his blood, you see, now he's come back in full strength. The full effect of that word is now being carried out by the Holy Spirit. Everything is just lining up for just complete cleansing, right?
Praise the Lord.
To the tremendous deliverance. Remember, he's King of Kings as he judges. The armies in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. That's the saint. That's the bride. His mouth goes out of his mouth with a sharp-edged sword. He smites the nation. He'll rule them with a rod of iron. He'll tread the winepress of the fierce and wrath of Almighty God on his vesture and his thigh, name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And that's the time, the great battle of Armageddon. Okay? Revelation 20, 1 to 6. An angel came down with a great key, the bottom pit, great chain in his hand. Did I read far enough there? No, I didn't read far enough, did I? Got to go further. I saw an angel standing in the sun. That's after verse 16 of the 19th chapter. He cried a loud voice to all the fowls, and this heaven, come and gather yourself unto supper of the great God. You meet the flesh of kings, the flesh of captains, the flesh of mighty men, the flesh of horses, and then to sit on them, the flesh of all men, both free and bond, great and small. I saw the beast, the kings, the earth, and their armies, gathered to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. That's the bride. The beast was taken, the false prophet, that wrought miracles for him, which had deceived and received the mark of the beast, and worshipped his image. They were cast alive in the lake of fire, burning fire and brimstone. And the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, and the sword proceeded out of his mouth, and all fowls were filled with their flesh. And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the pit, the bottomless pit, and the great chain in his hand. He laid hold of the dragon, the old serpent, which is the devil, Satan, bound him 1,000 years, cast him in the bottomless pit and shut him up, and set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nation no more till 1,000 years are fulfilled. After that he will reduce to little season. I saw thrones, and they had sat upon judgment given on them. And I saw the souls under head of the witness of Christ Jesus, and the word of God said, not worship the beast, neither his image, nor had received his mark upon their foreheads in their hands, and they lived in the reign of Christ 1,000 years. The rest of the dead are not 1,000 years. Finish this, the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that part in the first resurrection, and such a second death has no power of the priest of God and of Christ and reigning him 1,000 years. Now that's the entire bride of all ages. So here we have this great kingdom on earth. It is composed of the Lamb and his bride, which is New Jerusalem. This is a city 1,500 miles square at the base and 1,500 miles high, forming a pyramid. The Lamb is on the throne at the top of it, and the pillar of fire is on top of that. The bride comprises the city. But the 144,000 are also there in the city, waiting on the bride, but they're not bride. The foolish virgin and all others are outside the city, and they till the ground, and they bring their glory into the holy city. Now, you people that don't like vegetables, I don't know if you're going to make the resurrection or not. I got news for you. Brother Brown has said Christ ate a fish sandwich. Don't ask me what to eat, but I want you to know we are going to eat and drink and live with the resurrection. You see, I've been trying to tell you and let you know that what this is all about, what you're longing for, is to be the person that you really are down in here, not to be somebody else. You are never going to be Jesus Christ. Forget it. You are not going to be God. Forget it. And I am not going to be you. Thank God. And you are not going to be. Thank God, thank God. And I'm not going to be the angel Gabriel. Who wants to be? I don't want to be Michael. I don't want to be one of the cherubim. I don't want to be one of anything. I want to be me.
Amen.
That song was written really true. I want to be me. That man was crying out, but he's never going to get it. Because it's just a song and a dance. To us, it's life. Because that cry in there is to go back to the original seed of the full depth of appreciation and knowledge and understanding of the Most High, because we are His attributes. In other words, you're to be unfettered attributes. The foolish virgin, all the rest will bring their glory into the holy city. Resurrected members, will their bodies be just like ours? I don't know. Personally, I don't care. There'll be resurrected bodies. There'll be a lesser glory. What's the difference? Same body, different glory. That means position. I care none of those things. All I know is, I want to be me. and I'll be happy when I am. Now, you are quite well aware of all that I have taught thus far. But now we want to come toward a conclusion. We go back to Paul again. In 1 Corinthians, chapter 15, 16, and 19. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. Or you say, well, hey, Christ could be raised, but not us. What are you talking about? Listen, don't you know that or ain't hogwash this junk like that? I'm not going to use slang or profane language because there's none rotten enough to use. What is this nonsense? Pentecostal hogwash say, oh, Brother Vail, I believe in predestination, but just certain ones. And you see, they're really predestined like these great men of God are predestined. Then we come along behind and are given a chance. Hogwash. Oh, brother. You know who their parents were? Ace. Jesus came from God, goes back to God. We came from God, too. He doesn't change. Everyone foreknown, everyone elected, everyone predestinated. Ha! I suppose the body of Christ had seven men predestinated, seven church age messengers, and the rest don't. And how do we know we'll be in true form? Fact. I don't think one of Sherry's babies yet turned out to be a monkey. Cute little kid. She's going to have another baby. What are you looking for? A little horse or something? Oh, you're a real theologian. Good girl. You're going to have a little baby. Boy or girl, doesn't matter. It's going to be a little human. Where's your theology? You might have a dogology or a pigology, but it's not sheepology. And it's not theology. If Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, you're in your sins. Now, if the dead rise not, then Christ is not raised. In other words, if you're not going to rise and be just like him, then he's not either. If you don't have a resurrection coming, it's a lot of malarkey that anybody ever taught of a resurrection. Why talk about it? And if that's not true, there's no remission of sin. And if that's not true, there's no sin anyway. You talk about a mess. You talk about a garbage tin of corruption right here. You ever seen garbage tin of corruption? Put a bunch of meat out in a hot day and just wait a few days and see what happens. The tin will walk off. It's your corruption right there. Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. You're in your sin. And they've fallen asleep in Christ, you're perished. It's over. Boom. Live like a dog, die like a dog. A lot of people said there's no God. I wonder what Brezhnev thinks just now. Probably he's no worse off than these Trinitarians. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we're of all men most miserable. This is very strong. Let's go a little further. Let's just see about this resurrection. We don't want a bunch of hot and cold. I can't stand lukewarm food. Yeah. You know, people look at me and they say, how I don't drink coffee like you used to, but when I was in drinking coffee, I take the stuff out of the flat and fill it down scalding. How can you, Brother Vail? Because I'm hot. A bunch of lukewarms around me. I wasn't hitting the Norman. Norman just never drink his coffee hot. I was illustrating. All right. Let's see some scripture here now. So we can get red hot. 2 Corinthians 5th chapter 1-8. For we know if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in heaven. That's that spirit body. For in this one we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed upon which with our house which is from heaven. We don't want to be disembodied spirits floating around like a bunch of clouds. If so, that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle groan being burdened, not that we be unclothed but clothed upon. Mortality swallowed by light. Now he that wrought us for the self-same thing as God, who gave us the earnest of the Spirit. The Holy Ghost guarantees you'll never be without some kind of a body. So when you leave here, you go up there and get a spirit body. Therefore we are always confident knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith and not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body to be present with the Lord. No, that's not even a resurrection. Let's go over here to Luke 16. 19 to 25. There's a certain rich man clothed in purple, fine linen, the fair sumptuary every day. A certain beggar named Lazarus, which laid at the gate, full of sores, desiring to be fed from the crumbs that fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. Came to pass, the beggar died and carried the angels. Carried the angels in Abraham's bosom and upper Sheol paradise. The rich man died, was buried, and in hell. He lifted up his eyes, being in torment. This is a horrible place, he said. I'm used to good things. And he sees Abraham's bosom afar off and Lazarus in the bosom. And he cried. This is horrible, he said. Father Abraham, have mercy on me. I shouldn't be here. He said, Dad, what's that guy Lazarus doing there? Why, he said, I used to know that bird, he said. I gave him crumbs off my table. He said, you let the dogs come by and lick his sores. He said, a little antiseptic in the dog's saliva. Clean up his sores. Why, he said, he owes me a favor. Send him across here to give me a little water in my tongue. I've got a tormented flame here. I'm tormented. And Abraham said, son, remember, you in your lifetime received good things and Lazarus, evil things. Now he's comforted and you're tormented. Besides, there's a vast gulf fixed. And if anybody wanted to cross over, they couldn't. And believe me, Lazarus doesn't want to cross over. Now, do you think Brother Branham wants to come back here and he's got a theophonic body, a spirit body? Do you think if I get released from this pest house and he lets me have a nice body that's waiting for me, I want to come back? Don't be ridiculous. That is, I don't want to come back to this. But everyone is waiting to come back glorified on this earth.
Amen.
Now, that puts your resurrection a million miles past it. Now, a lot of people don't want to come back. Just get me out of here. Oh, no, no, no. I want to come back. I want to be.
Amen.
I want to come back and take over. I want to move the grass. I want to move the trees. I want to know the animals. I want to know the kingdom. Because you're not going to have a kingdom apart from it. The kingdom of God is not made up of people unresurrected. The kingdom of God is the resurrection. That's why the blood was shed, to get you back. The Son of God, immortal. See? Look, let's go a little further. Let's read what Paul says here, Philippians. First chapter, 21-23. For me to live is Christ and die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I don't know. I am in a strait between two. to desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. No, he's going to go where that is. But that's not it. Brother Branham stood there and he said, I want to see Jesus. He said, no way. He'll come to you. When will that be? Will that be in a glorified membership? Most possibly. Judgment seat of Jesus Christ. There is no way a man can be elect, foreknown, and his name in the book of life, and stop short of his desire for the resurrection. Now, you didn't hear what I said. You heard what I read, but you didn't get what I said. I said, there's not one of you this morning here, sitting here, or standing here, anything else, that you can claim to be born again and not want desperately to be in that resurrection. You said, Brother Dale, that revelation hasn't hit me. That's where I'm preaching this. There's too much of a cry. Just get me out of here. Just get me out of here. Just get me out of here. Get me out of here and bring me back. Get me to the church on time. Why? To get married. Get me out of here to get me back. I want to go back and take over. I've been took over too long. It should be the great hope and all-consuming desire at this point. This is the completion of the ages when God starts all over again. What? Genesis 1. 26. God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. Let him have dominion over fish of sea, fowl of the air, cattle, over all the earth. Every creeping thing creeps upon the earth. God created man in his own image. The image of God created him, male and female created them. Genesis 5:1. This is the birth of the generation of Adam. In the day that God created man, in the likeness of God made he him. Male and female created them. Blessed them and called their name Adam. In the day that they were created. Psalms 17. 15. As for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness.
I shall be satisfied when I awake with that likeness. And until that time, I shall not be satisfied. I shall not even be satisfied when I'm with all the saints up there if I should die ahead of time. I shall not be satisfied even with immortality up there. I shall be satisfied coming back here in the kingdom because that's what I'm supposed to be satisfied with. Funny American people, they're very funny. They're like 3-course dinners, some have 5-course dinners, 7-course dinners, and a great big dessert on top. And then they turn down the resurrection. Oh, I'm born again. Come on, listen. We are not in some born again experience. Some revelation that's all willy-nilly. We're the divinity. We know who we are, where we're going. As Terry said, Brother Branham brought us a good. Took us to the book of beginnings. Always go to beginnings. No place else to go. Okay, 1 John 3. That's the epistle. And of course, the second verse, you all know that. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. It hath not yet appeared, come into full manifestation what we shall be. But we know that when he is fully manifested, we're going to be like him. We shall see him as he is. Now that's not in the glorified form. That's the revelation. Because they saw him in his form as a human being. And they said, who are you? I'm Messiah. I'm here. And they said, you're not here. You're not Messiah. Yeah. People are funny. 2 Corinthians 3:18. But we all with unveiled face beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord. Remember, this glory doesn't fade. What a glory that'll be, Brother Brand said. Are changed into the same image. Same copy. He's a copy of God. We're carbon copies of him. Like father, like son. Sons like sons. Brothers like brothers. From glory to glory. Even as by the Spirit of the Lord. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 10. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, the life also Jesus might be made manifest in our body. Brought into perfect recognition. Proof. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So that then death works in us, but life in you. We having the same spirit of faith according to written, I believed, and therefore I have spoken, we also believe and therefore speak. Knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. What are you talking about? They've already been raised up spiritually. Already got the guarantee. They're waiting for the hour of the resurrection bodies. For all things are for your sakes, for the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving may redound to many to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, the inward man is renewed day by day. For that affliction, which is but for a moment, works for us a far more exceeding eternal way to glory. See, that's Romans 8. While we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. You're looking for that image that you're originally in. Romans the 6th chapter. All right. 5th verse. For if we've been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. 1 Corinthians 15. 35. Beginning what? But some will say, how are the dead raised up? With what body do they come? Fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened except to die. We're not all going to die. We're all going to get there, though. But that which thou sowest not that body that should be but a bare grain. Better have the right grain, brother, sister, the right seed. You may chance the wheat or some other. God gives it a body as it pleased him to every seed his own body. Now, if you're in the last book of life, you'll likely get a very special body. If you're in the book of life, I just don't know about that. Because there's a special body for those that come up in the resurrection and go to the lake of fire. Brother Bam already confirmed that. All flesh is not the same flesh, true. One of flesh of men, one of beasts, another fishes, another birds. Celestial bodies, terrestrial bodies, the glory flesh of one, the glory flesh of another. Glory of the sun, glory of stars, one differs another. Verse 42, so is also the resurrection of the dead, sown in corruption, raised in corruption. Sown in dishonor, raised in glory. Sown in weakness, raised in power. Isn't that true? And that's what we're looking forward to. What's giving you all your trouble? Well, the carcass hates to roll out of bed in the morning. It hates to roll in bed at night. Can't stand the thought of good vegetables. Eat old dead food. I'm preaching diet, not like Brother Branham did. He said, that's what's wrong with me, he said. Nothing left in the food. You eat all the junk's no good for you. He said, and he said, yeah, now he said, if your body's nothing but a chunk of mush, what about your mind? Well, pass that one by, and I won't even look at the people in the church and pretend that he never said it, and I never said it. Oh, mush heads out there, not here, of course. Corrupt heads out there, not here, of course. Now, if you got the Holy Ghost, you run with the word, you're not corrupt inside, just corrupt outside. And corruption outside isn't so bad, but we hate it. It's natural, don't like it. Goes down. We want the one that comes up and stays up. To get up in the morning and never have to go to bed at night. Just live, live, live. Well, we'll see what happens, whether God wants that or not. In the millennium, I think we're going to sleep in the millennium, but in the New Jerusalem, I don't think you have to sleep. Now you say, I don't know if I get along without sleep. See? Well, it's like relativity. Like Brother Brand said, he said, if you're doing something pleasant, he said, it doesn't seem like long, but he said, if you're in pain, boy, that feels like hours. Like the one guy put it even better still. He said, if you're sitting on the lid of on a hot stove, he said, that seems a long time to just even barely touch it. All right. It says here, so in a natural body raised a spiritual body, so a natural body is a spiritual body. It's written, the first man Adam made a living soul, the last Adam was a quickening spirit. That's going to take us up and over. Howbeit that was not first which is spiritual, that was a natural, after that which is spiritual. You see, that's the trouble. We're waiting for the resurrection. We're groaning, we're crying. The whole trouble is we're not in the resurrection. Let's get there. Howbeit, that was not first the spirit, that was natural and spiritual. First man's the earth, the second man's Lord of heaven. Now, as is the earthy, such a day that earthy, as the heavenly, such a day that heavenly, and as we are born the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly, period. Now, this I say, brethren, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. So we are going to get changed. All right. Here we are. This is the hour of the kingdom. We know because the prophet revealed 1 Thessalonians 4. 13 to 17 is the rapture. And he explained it very, very thoroughly. For he said here, I would not have you in concerning them which are asleep, before now as them have hope. If we believe, now see, that's the same Paul said over here in 1 Corinthians 15. Now he said, you guys, he said, let me get this flat. There is a resurrection coming and a change of body and a kingdom of God. If we believe that Jesus died and rose again, died for sins, is immortal, we're cleansed, going to be immortal, if you believe that, you're on your way. You can't believe unless you're full of the Holy Ghost. It's not a revelation to you. Because this is the hour of the resurrection, and you should know you're going to live forever. And if you're not, you're going to come right back. Even so, them which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. This we send you by the word of the Lord, we which are alive, mean of the presence of the Lord, shall not take preeminence over them which are asleep, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a message to gather the bride together. And once they're in position, the voice of the archangel, that God himself will raise the dead. Then the trumpet will sound, they'll be caught up to the wedding supper. And here's how we go. Those that are brought out of the ground will go first. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. And then we which are alive remain should be caught up in little groups shortly to meet them all in the air. And there will crown him King of Kings and Lord of Lords. To be at the wedding supper 3.5 years. He'll reveal himself to the 144,000. Seal him in. Then we'll all come back and take over. Now, 1 Thessalonians 4:13, speaking on the resurrection and the rapture, is absolutely 1 Corinthians 15, beginning at verse 20. Now, we've gone into that. But now is Christ risen from the dead, and become the first risen of them that slept. There's been a resurrection already, and a one coming up. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order. Christ the first fruits. Afterward, they that are Christ that he present. Great. Now, where was he present in the resurrection? In spirit form. Where did he be here? Spirit form. Who is this Christ? Not Jesus the man. It's the one that raised him, Elohim. There's only one raises the dead. God raises the dead. God raised Christ. And notice, then comes the end. See? Now, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom of God, even the Father, when he's going to put down all rule and all power and authority. Now it tells you at this point here in the resurrection, everything just swims right on to New Jerusalem. From that time, everything begins coming into order. Now, with the shout, there starts an order. The bride making herself ready through the word. So the dead can come up. So we'll all be changed and taken away. And from that time on, he begins squeezing down death. Begin taking over more and more. He comes back at the 3.5 years. He seals 144,000 to make them eunuchs to the bride. You want to change your date? Then he goes ahead and we come back with him and take over the earth. We're going to take over the kingdom for the glory of God. Now listen, this is the hour of the resurrection. We can prove it. Not just by opening the seals, we prove it by history. In Romans 11, verse 15, for if the casting away of Israel be the reconciling of the world, what shall be the receiving of them but life from the dead? Israel's not dead, they're blind. When God turns to Israel, he's doing now, the resurrection's at hand. And let me tell you, the minute God turns to Israel, said, this is it, they begin popping out of the grave. Israel's in the homeland. This is the hour of the resurrection. It is time of the dead in Christ. Those who sleep to rise. It is time for our change. Let's go back to Revelation 5 again. Because it's time for it. Notice, verse 8. And when he had taken the book, ripped the seals off, climbed on the throne. Four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, everyone having harps, golden vials, full of odors. Prayers of the saints, they sung a new song, that worthy to open the book, to take open the seals. For thou wast slain, hast redeemed us to God by the blood of his contamination. Notice it's the blood. Now it's made, and what is it? The Holy Spirit, just a guarantee it was temporary. And it's made us unto our God, kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. Now who's up there doing that? People of the first resurrection. It's also a glimpse of the bride. It's her time. Under the seals. Now you can't be in the kingdom. You cannot reign on earth unless you get a glorified body. And I beheld and heard the voice of many angels round about the throne of the beast and the elders, number of them was about 10,000 times a thousand, 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 saying in a loud voice, where is the Lamb of slain to receive power and riches and wisdom, strength and honor and glory and blessing? And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth and such as in the sea and all of them at that hour. Nature, everything is screaming out, blessing, honor, glory, power to him that sits upon the throne and under the Lamb forever. There's a religious movement out there. It's not going to amount to a thing. They're all screaming honor and glory. Why? Because the seals are open. Creation. You think maybe this nice weather here is a symbol of what's coming? I don't look and say, well, the jet streams have changed and this has changed and meteorologist, a guy, Gaiavani Dushanti, he says this and that and some big hokey poke. I like nice weather. I just thank God. I tell you, they're all like back when I was a kid of 16 years age. They had a summer up there in winter in Canada where the chickens got food and laying eggs all winter long. They dusted their feathers in the sand, the dust out there, and they had a great time clucking away, trying to lay eggs and almost trying to brood, little, you know, be brooding everything else. But when the year was all over, an Indian chief said, he said, I knew it all the time. But if he knew it all the time, why didn't he tell him? You get these birds out here predicting and they fall flat. I think this weather just tells me the millennium's at hand. You say, brother, they are one of the horde when it comes. The great tribulation's at hand. Oh, no problem. No problem. This is the hour. All right. We're reading. Weren't we? Yes. And the foreign beast said, amen. The foreign 20 elders fell down and worshiped and lived forever and ever. Why? Because we're going to come back and reign. This is the hour. It happened under the seals. And in those seals is all we need to get us out of here. Thank God for his presence, the one unveiled. The dead will soon rise and we shall be changed. I'm glad that I'm going to take over. What about you? Let's rise. Gracious Heavenly Father, Almighty God, wonder of wonders, Lord, that we should be here in this hour. And it's good to be here to just go into the simple things to see what is ours, which we thank you for. And Lord, when we begin to think of these things, it doesn't seem to be so bad to be here after all. In fact, it seems good, it's wonderful that we are here in order to be partakers. As the prophet himself said, who could hear you lip to ear and saw thee in thy forms, O God, unveiled to him and knew you in a way that we haven't known you, but yet it doesn't matter. It's just a good one way or the other. he said that he would choose this hour. And now, Lord, to think that you chose us for this hour. Now, what manner of people we ought to be? What manner of thanksgiving? What manner of confidence? What manner of confession? What manner of men? Absolutely fantastic and marvelous. And we praise thee, O God, that such things now as are ours from you we appreciate, and by grace, Lord, we will continue to appreciate. And somehow, Lord, may we be consecrated to the point where we appreciate in a way that we have never appreciated before, until appreciation goes into a realism, red hot realism. For you yourself said, I'd sooner have you hot or cold. And Lord, we're the same opinion. Far be it from us to be hot. And Lord God, we know we are nauseated with lukewarmness for sure. Make us hot, fervent,
red hot, constantly receiving of that oil, that bread broken, that poultice, rubbing it in her eyes, getting rid of the sores, what the cold brought on, the cankers and all those things, until, Lord, we are red hot in thy word. Oh, God, may this people, may each one of us, because I cannot stand here and say, Lord, I'm happy to tell the people I have arrived, that my every thought is now one with everything I have said, but by grace I believe it certainly is, and it started to be that way, and was going to climb more and more. And with them and myself, Lord, we encourage ourselves in your presence that absolutely we will not be the same after this service. We cannot be, because, Lord God, the devil cannot take this word from us. You yourself said that he snatches the word, but the word that falls in good ground is going to bring forth a fruit, and our word today is resurrection. We are looking, therefore, for the witness, and not just the witness, we're looking for the anointing, Lord, toward it. The absolute zeal, that warmth, that wine of stimulation. The prophets will have to be calling a stimulation, Lord. May we be all steamed up. Yes, sir, Lord. Not to be foolish. Not to try to jump into fiery furnaces, but know that if we were forced in, the God of our fathers, to whom we had our hearts turned back to now, beyond the scene, in our midst to take us through whatever it is, taking us into the resurrection. It'll just be enough to burn the dross out. So, Lord, we consider ourselves, because of this end time word, yours. And we trustfully believe that you consider us to be yours. And together we are one. And we thank you for it. Now be with us, Lord, as we depart and go our ways. May the grace of God go with each one. May we lift up in faith, Lord. Looking at the future, not with uncertainty, but with strength of mind and character. Going down that road, blessing and believing thy great and holy name. Lord, we love you today. We certainly do. We praise thee, O God. We give thee the glory. We marvel at your goodness to us, your tolerance, your patience. We marvel at your love in all these things, Lord. We certainly do. For, Lord, when it's the end of the day, we can only say we are unprofitable servants. We don't know why you even take time with us, but we're certainly glad that you do. We appreciate it, Lord. We love you. Magnify your great and holy name. May we never, never, never do anything but grow in that love toward you and that appreciation, the depth of understanding. We want it, Lord. Oh, God, just as the psalmist said, there's no way we're going to be satisfied until we awake in your likeness. No way. Back to the image. We're longing for it. We're hungering for it. That's why we're almost upset so much of the time. Help us to calm down. To be with patience to possess our souls. Lord, let the real Spirit of God move as never before. Every life, Lord. Every life. No more facades, no more anything. Just the sobriety. Moving more and more into the image. Father, we're so tired of being somebody else. So tired, oh God, that we're exhausted, we're worn out. Now we want to be ourselves in Christ. The greatest thing in the world, Lord, the greatest gift I know that you would ever give anybody is what you've given us. We look at it and understand that your infinite wisdom could not have eclipsed it. There's no way. That this is it and we're part of it. How wonderful. We praise thee, O God. In Jesus' name, we ask your blessing. Amen. Let's sing, Oh, How I Love Jesus.
Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus.
Going to go in a few minutes, but seeing I took as long as I did and I didn't want to, I might as well go the whole limit and go all the way. It says here, in that night did God appear unto Solomon and said unto him, ask what I should give thee. And Solomon said, thou hast showed great mercy unto David my father, and hast made me to reign in his stead. Now, O Lord God, let thy promise unto David my father be established, for thou hast made me king over people like the dust of the earth and multitude. Give me now wisdom and knowledge, that I may go out and come in before this people. For who can judge this people that is so great? God said to Solomon, because that was in thine heart, thou hast not asked riches, wealth, or honor, nor the life of thine enemies, neither yet hast thou asked long life, but hast asked wisdom and knowledge for thyself, that thou mayest judge my people over whom I have made thee king. Wisdom and knowledge is granted unto thee, and I will give thee riches and wealth and honor, such as none of the kings have been before thee, neither shall there be any after thee like thee. And that certainly was true. At this hour, We're not great in number. We may be few, but I don't believe any of us have asked anything more than for wisdom and knowledge. Now, I was a kid when I was going to school, to Sunday school many, many years ago. Now, and I was very introverted and very shy, and I couldn't stand the kid. His name was Butcher. He always wanted to kick me, and another kid named Taylor. I always tried to sit away from those kids because they were worse than I was, if you can imagine that. And I remember the Sunday school teacher taught on the wisdom of Solomon, and she said how the Solomon had prayed for wisdom and God gave it. So she thought she'd make give every kid a little test in the school, you know, in the Sunday school class. So she asked what kid, well, he'd like a nice bunch of horses. And one guy wanted a car, and one guy wanted this. Well, you know, I came out of a pretty poor home when the weather got bad, the water in the bucket froze. And when the snow blew, it could come through the cracks. Now, we never froze, but we did have a sensation in our house that was known as the hot on one side and cold on the other. If you stuck your back to the pot belly stove, you know you could warm and almost, you know, burn, and then suddenly you found your nose was frosted. So when you turned your nose to get warmed up, then the derriere was frosted. And we didn't have too much of anything. Well, I was so dumb. You know, I'm not lying to you. I was so dumb in school it was pitiful. I know I could read, and I could read so fast the teacher thought I had memorized. I wasn't that smart. It was nice she thought I was smart. But I wasn't smart. But anyway, so they came to my church. He said, what would you like? Well, I didn't know anything about horses and nice homes and cars and things. What would I do them? So I thought, well, maybe what was good for Saul might be good for me. Well, I said I would like to have wisdom with Saul. I'm going to tell you something. That was a great treat. I went back in grade 4. I could out-add the teachers. Smart. Any kid in the room.
Great.
From that time on, they took my work up to other classes. Now, let me tell you something. I'm not smart. I'm not a genius. My IQ is fairly high, but I'm pretty stupid in a lot of things. But I'm going to tell you something, brothers and sisters. If God answered a kid way back there who was too dumb to know anything, oh, the spirit of wisdom and knowledge doing this hour today to give us revelation and understanding. See? That's what he's here for. Not to make us smart. Not to make us know what somebody else doesn't know. But, you know, to give us an understanding in this word. Now, he did that for me way back there. I don't see any reason why he wouldn't do it today. Now, listen. Solomon determined to build a house for the name of the Lord and a house for his kingdom. And Solomon told out that he tallied out 70,000 men to bear burdens. That's 70,000. And 80,000 to hew in the mountains. That's 150,000. And 3,600 to oversee them. That's quite a lot of overseers. So altogether, what's that? About 153,600, somewhere there. And then he did a lot of things. And he said, behold, I'll build a house in the name of the Lord my God to dedicate it to him and to burn before him sweet incense. Now, our burning is the calves of our lips, which is praise unto God, which worship cannot be accepted unless it is worship according to word. That's why God turned down Cain, right? Okay. So, he got everything lined up in this place in order to have the word and them in line with God. The next thing I'm reading, then Solomon began to build the house of the Lord in Jerusalem, in Mount Moriah, where the Lord appeared unto David his father, in the place that David had prepared, in the threshing floor of Ornan, the Jebusite, and he began to build in the second day of the second month. That'd be May, wouldn't it? The fourth year of his reign. Now, I wanted to really read this for was this thing here. God raised up a king, and he did require, because of his authority, to delegate, not so much delegate, but to conscript, in order to build a place. And that place, he already knew of through revelation. Now, I'm going to liken us to that here today. And you're going to have to forgive me because sometimes I come to the place where I'm going to have to speak my mind and put it in a nicer way as I can. But to let you know that if you believe that I stood one day and faced northeast and said this was the place the word would be, as far as I'm concerned. If you believe that I as a kid was able to pray, if you believe that I'm a servant of God, why is not this building finished? He said, Brother Bill, I've got work. These men took time off from work. What do you think I do? Now look, we've been asking you and asking you. Now, you can't fool with the word of God, my brother, my sister. You can't do it. Because this place is particular I believe it is with all my heart. A very particular place. Now, we must dedicate it. To dedicate it means the work must be finished. Now, I know it's if you put a burden on it, then what would you sooner do? Now, I will not take any more tithe, not one nickel tithe, and pay any more tithe. That's out, because that tithe is not meant to do that. I put my life in jeopardy in a certain way, because over there I did it, but I earned that money. I earned here now, too. And we're not asked. Now, if we want, we can pledge today or tomorrow and get enough money to pay somebody. Or we can finish the work ourselves. Now, putting you on the spot, but it's time to speak and speak once for all. I will not speak again. Now, do you like this after this morning service? Do you enjoy the presence of God? Now, it's up to you if you want to continue. Because, you see, things are more serious than you believe. Now, if you believe me as a servant of God, you've got to believe me all the way. Now, the place must be dedicated. We cannot have anything but silence and reverence. Now, I take a lot of things in my hands, something like a dictator, but believe me, in a very short while, I'm going to put everything back in your hands. Because as far as I'm concerned, you can run. You can take a whole slate of deacons or anything else you want from this point on. And I'm not saying that in a bad way. I'm saying it in a good way. Because we must have, as Brother Branham put it before us. Now, it's not going to require a lot, but what it does require are the things to be done that are not being done. And they can be done in a matter of hours. And I just don't see the fooling around. Now, if it's been going months and months and months, and today, it's over. You must get it done or hire somebody. Is that fair and square? I think it is fair and square because I've not put a burden on you. Now, there's not one who can tell you I put a burden on you. Right? Okay, so let's get it done now. Now, see, I believe a building is important. Now, if it wasn't, I wouldn't say that. But I believe with all my heart, and I could be wrong, but I got to believe what I believe, that when I turn northeast, and it's a perfect isosceles right angle triangle, northeast, that's exactly what it is in my place. I believe that this is the place that I am to bring forth a word here. So you, now from now on, now you can do what you want amongst yourselves, and I haven't hurt your feelings, I haven't intended. But the thing is this, I want you to look at it from the word of Almighty God. It does take sacrifice, but remember, you won't be the first and the last people to sacrifice. And there's hardly anything left to do. We've had men come in and do work, but as I say, there's a limit to that unless you want to raise a special budget. So, all right, you understand exactly what to do. So let's get it all done. And what few things we must do, like for windows, like a few things, like there's for air conditioner, and these things that we can put in the regular air conditioners casement. We've got not casement barrier, wall type, or window type, but they're not the casement barrier long time. But these things, you consider them, we are well able to do them, and look, you're the church I'm not. You know. I could bring my own little private fan, little ice water dripping on my head. I'm not going to do it. Molly, okay. Let's buy it one more time. Heavenly Father, you know I don't speak out of anger and malice concerning this thing. But the work must be done, Lord, because the faith must be dedicated. Things must be put in order. Everything must be done as to proper things we know, Lord, as to whether they lie in the form of a contract or other things, Lord, they cannot be put off any longer because the devil will creep in sure as when he hide a grasshopper. And he'll take advantage of everything. Lord, we've bad enough at this point because we know this is the desperate part to try to be one with this word. To try, Lord, to give it exactly right, O God, because it could be so easy to take a liberty. And yet, Lord, if we start down here in the building and take liberties and fool around these things, where are we going to go with the word, Lord? I don't know. Maybe I'm not consistent. Maybe I am. I don't know. If I'm not consistent, Lord, forgive me. And we just float in the bush as far as that's concerned. Or any old thing's good enough. But Father, I believe that when we consecrated to do this thing, it's to do it right. And I believe, Lord, we can do it right, get all things in order. So we just pray that you'll help us now with the blessing of God in our hearts and lives, knowing that shortly we'll be away from here, resurrected in thy presence. But the same one who told us this and named the hour, which is the hour we live, also said, if we're pounding nails and knowing he's noise coming tomorrow, keep pounding nails, hoeing potatoes, where it is. And Lord, we would like to see the thing done here. And we believe now that with your blessing upon us, with seriousness of the hour time going on, we should be able to get the thing done up in what little thing needs doing. So, Father, we thank you now for strength and energy. And again, I say, if we've done anything wrong, forgive us. May it be wiped out of people's minds.
This is as far as we should go, but I don't believe it is. But Lord, you can show us even this. We want your will in everything, Lord. We want to be humble and right, O God. And so we commend ourselves to you in everything. Surely we do, Lord. Our very breath is in your hands. And under the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be all power and honor and glory through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. That's the thing I love, because you first loved me.